as many chairs as possible, and that we've also adjusted the air conditioning so everyone can remain cool and calm tonight. So I appreciate your patience. I would like to call this meeting to order. And first, I'd let you know that the board did meet in executive session at 5 o'clock tonight. And then we also had a public hearing at 6 o'clock this evening to review a conditional use application that we will be reviewing later this evening. Please stand now and join me in saying the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jill, would you please do the roll call this evening?
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Rick Zamuda?
Here.
Chairwoman Susan Court?
Here.
Member Mark Moyer?
I just want to let the members of the public know about Mark's absence this evening. Regretfully, Supervisor Moyer is unable to join us. Good news, his daughter recently got a job across the country, and he and his wife needed to move her this week. So he right now is in a truck somewhere between here and the West Coast, and he is unable to join us by phone because of his travel plan. So he has sent his regrets, and I wanted to let you know that's why he is not here this evening. This evening, what I would like to do is have our first session of public comment dealing with anything other than the community center. Because I think once everyone hears the presentations that we're all going to hear this evening, your comments, your questions may be answered, or if they're not, your questions may be more relevant based on the presentations that you're going to hear. So while it is not on the agenda, we will have another public comment session following all the presentations related to the community center so that you can ask more informed questions, or again, perhaps some of your questions may be answered. And then at the end, we'll have another public comment session where you're free to comment on any day. That'll probably be around 10 o'clock this evening, is my guess, for those of you who stick it out to the bitter end. So let's move on first to, I do need to remind you, sorry, that although it's posted within the meeting room, that everybody attending this meeting should be aware that the meetings are tape recorded for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. And if you haven't already, please turn off your cell phones just so it doesn't disturb anyone this evening. Thank you. We will now move on to our first session of visitor and public comment. We ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. And for those of you who haven't been here in a while, we've got this newfangled device. Watch this. When you start, it turns green. When you have 1 minute left, I'll turn it to yellow. And when you're getting close to 3 minutes, I'll turn it to red. This is not to punish anybody. This is just so that you can help sort of self-regulate when you're at the podium. I know it's nerve-wracking to be up there, and not everybody has a good internal clock to know when it's 3 minutes. And just for the importance of keeping the meeting moving, we'll do this evening at future meetings just to help public comment run more smoothly. All right, first person is welcome to step to the microphone. And please give us your name and address as well.
Hi, this is not community center related. Good evening. My name is Robert Noya. I live at 1465 Jill Drive. I have a question for Chairman Court or perhaps other members of the board. I ask this question both as a resident of Derry Township and as a reporter for The Sun, a newspaper published in Hummelstown. And my question is, can you confirm or refute information recently received by The Sun from multiple sources that a member of this Board of Supervisors is currently the subject of an investigation by the Pennsylvania State Ethics Commission? Thank you.
It's not normal that we would answer questions during public comment, but certainly I think that one deserves an answer. Thank you for bringing that forward, Bob. And any matter that would be a matter of litigation, of course, is something that the board couldn't comment on. So appreciate the question. That's my response.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Matthew Peters. I live at 1456 Spring Hill Drive, Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. Again, not related to the community center. I'm here to comment on the occupation and school occupation taxes, most significantly their exemption. Currently, the only exemptions are a $12,000 exemption for earned income, clergy, and retirees, There is no exemption listed whatsoever for students. Now, a number of students have a gap between their federal loans, their grants, aid, and what have you, and the cost of school. And a number of students, myself, my friend Colin Kane, Ian West, and a number of people work many hours over the summer attempting to close those gaps, sometimes totaling $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000. And in the current system, we're actually tapped the $500 if we were to make, say, $12,050, as there is no relevant exemption for college students. It seems imprudent to tax a group of students who are really and truthfully just trying to make a better life for themselves. I look forward to any comment, any understanding of why that's the case, and I do understand that you can't increase the earned income threshold, as that is controlled by the state.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments, and that's a very valid point. Just to clarify, it's not retirees, I believe it's age 65 and older, so you can still be working, but be exempt as well. But that's certainly something that our members who sit on the tax board could take a look at to see what percentage of college students may fall outside of that that exemption level. So that's a very good point.
Is there a specific meeting time for that specific committee? How does that work?
We don't have public meetings.
Okay.
One quick question. Is the, you have, I assume you have loans?
I currently have a few student loans from my three semesters at HAC. I've received $50,000 in grants and aid for the upcoming semester at my four-year school, but still have $11,000 remaining, $9,000 of which is being covered by student loans provided by the government, and $4,000 of which I have to pay out of pocket.
Does the federal government consider that income?
The federal government does not consider that income. However, I will be making approximately $14,000 to $15,000, paying that as well as travel expenses to and from college and so forth. Furthermore, aid does not cover things such as books. That's merely tuition. Books have to come out of pocket.
Are you aware of the state grants anyway?
The state grants do provide some assistance, but there's no waiver for the specific local tax, which is
right.
The only one of our.
Let us do this. Yeah. Let us take that back to the tax association, and we'll have your name and address on file and get back to you. That's a very valid point. Thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, thank you.
There's not too many college students who are actually making that much money, so it would be you and a handful of others, but we'll certainly take a look at it.
Thank you.
I wish my daughters knew that much when they were in college.
Just a few 14-hour days.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else can comment on matters other than the community center?
Linda Iyer, 2321 Robin Road, also chairman of the Carters Association. What is the current position, financial position of the township? Is the 2018 audit been completed?
Yes.
Okay. Do we know what the fund balance was as of January 1st?
Off the top of my head, I do not know. I don't have the report with me this evening.
Okay.
So it's certainly available for you to review if you want.
Okay. I'll be in tomorrow for it. Did you do a midpoint review on June 30th?
As far as I know, we've looked at all of our expenses to date, and we're targeting exactly where the budget we should, where we should be at the mid-year. So,
can you do my comment?
Yeah. And again, this is public comment. If you have specific questions, we can't have a dialogue back and forth, or we'll be here till midnight. So I would respectfully request that if you have a lot of questions, that you contact Chris in the morning.
And sure, Linda, and obviously you can come in and
sure.
Tomorrow. We can sit down and go through it.
Okay. Some other questions is, has there been any contingency established with the Bears Creek lawsuit? Anything there? I know it's a legal issue. I'm trying to get a feel for the.
Well, if there are updates on any of these items, we'll certainly bring them forward. But if you have general questions, please either just email Chris or us.
Okay. I'm just trying to determine the financial position of the township. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Wayne Rivers, 815 Cypress Court. Couple questions. One, Susan, I respectfully adhere to your request not to make any comments about the community center. But if that's the case, then I take it there is not going to be a vote tonight on picking an option to go forward.
I don't know if there would be a vote or not. That depends on how the discussion goes. But as I mentioned, there'd be another instance of public comment after all the presentations. So you'll have an opportunity to comment specifically about the community center after the presentation this evening.
But I think it would be fair to the people that are in attendance tonight, if you do take a vote, that you hear with people attending
that vote would be after that.
If we took a vote tonight, it would be after hearing all of the board's comments and all of the public comments.
I'm a little thick. So
that's okay.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Another thing, as you know, I'm involved with parks, and at a recent meeting that we had with vacations and everything else that was going on, 300 strong organization so far, we had 26, 27 people show up at our last meeting, torrential downpour right before it started and so on. One of the things that somebody brought up was that they send you emails. When I say you, I mean the board. It's usually just not specifically to one, but it's to all of you. And they said that they don't get a response. So the question was asked of everybody there, how many times have you sent emails to the Board of Supervisors of Derry Township and you do not get a response? And I think just about everybody in the room raised their hand. And I ask you to try and do better in responding to people. I know that this is a time-consuming job. I've told you before as I stood up here, I don't envy you at all, but it's the people that are involved in the community, they're asking questions, and it might not always be something that you want to hear, but I know that you're in this because you have thick skin, and if you could respond to people as they ask their elected officials questions, that'd be great. Okay?
Thank you. And it is always our intention to try to respond. Sometimes, given the amount of time we have during the day or whatever else is going on, it becomes challenging. And sometimes the emails would require a three-hour conversation because there's lots of questions. So we're always willing to talk. Feel free to call us, and please be patient if we don't respond right away. Thank you.
Good evening. Amanda Hackley, 88 Plymouth Circle in Hershey. I'm here tonight to talk about Kids Club. Another year's registration has come and gone, and once again, capacity was at 45 students. That only serves, I would guesstimate, less than 3% of the student body in a school district where, according to the latest census, 90% of our town is either dual-income families or single parents. You know, I came to a couple of meetings last year along with some of my friends. We talked about this. We were encouraged that there was a commitment to growing the program, and it appears that nothing has been done against the 1920 school year. My understanding is there's a significant wait list again, and I'd like to know, I guess, what is going to be done to expand Kids Club. I know the school has been willing to share their space with you. Staffing, I saw there was job posting for the fall, only posted on July 1st of this year. So what's the plan with regards to...
Matt, is that something you would like to address tonight or in your report later? Or
whatever the board would desire.
I
can do it quickly.
Sure.
So, and thank you for bringing that up. As you know, it is an extremely popular program. So, right now, after the registration, we had 36 kids in the morning. Our capacity for our current license is 45 children in the morning and in the afternoon. So, we have 36 in the morning, and we had registration start at 8 a.m. At 8:03, we were full. And we had 27 additional children on the waiting list. You are correct. We've been working with the school district, and our request for the cafeteria at the ECC is in process, as I understand it. Once that gets approved for the fall and spring, we'll have the state inspector come and make sure that the site meets the regulations, which obviously it should since it's the school. And then it'll be... the biggest challenge is staffing, and we've had some discussions of possibly putting advertisements through the schools to see if some of the teachers would be interested in those positions. One of the challenges is all the required certifications, backgrounds, clearances, and all the things obviously that go with that. So we are well aware of the situation, and our goal is to be able to expand the program. Once again, though, the biggest challenge is going to be staffing.
I understand, and I guess I hoped after last year there'd be a more proactive effort in doing that. It was July 1st when that job was posted.
That's the last posting. We've been posting for months.
For summer program was before that. I've been following the site. I haven't seen.
Unless I'm mistaken, I believe we've been advertising.
Okay, and my child got into, so I don't want to, this is not self-serving. I know there are a lot of people on that list, and it's a great program.
Yes.
And I think to be able to offer affordable child care to everyone in the township should be a goal.
Thank you for your comment.
Thank you.
Anyone else with any other public comments?
Yeah, my name is Jay Ziegler at 971 Bullfrog Valley Road in Hummelstown. I want to thank you. Finally paving Bullfrog Valley Road. It's just about complete. We're still waiting for some edging and so forth. But it brings back the issue of how many times I stood before this board for 4 years asking that road to get paved. And now that it's paved, I realize how much our quality of life was missed in those 4 years plus because of the condition of that road. And I think of all the other bad roads we have in this township. And I find out that that loan we got to do Bullfrog Valley Road is going to come out of the fuel tax paid by the fuel tax. Is that correct? Or is it coming out of general funds? It's my understanding it's coming out of the fuel tax. If it is, that's wrong, because I used to always think it was Public Works was not maintaining our roads, and it's not their fault. It's because they don't have the funds to maintain the roads. And I'm not talking about downtown. I'm talking about the crust of Hershey, the outside part. Because a lot of those roads out there are bad, they're expired, they're run down. Bullfrog is a main artery everybody sees it. Church Road's another one. Brownstone Development's another one. We have a lot of roads. And how can you take a payment of $80,000 to $100,000 out of the $750,000, which does our snow removal, 110 miles of roads, plus alleyways on constant maintenance? That just takes away from Mr. Clark's job and makes it harder for him. 5 years we might have to pave another road. What are you going to do? Take another $80,000 out of that? And then we're down to $550, $575, or $600, whatever. It's going to keep going down and down and down. How can you continue to do that? I was here a year ago and asked you to review the Federal Highway Administration. They have recommendations how townships are supposed to work 5 years in advance. Has anything ever happened on that? You need to start looking at your roads. You're going to be in the same situation we were with the stormwater, where you create an authority and you have a $26 million debt off to the side. I've personally been paying $140 to pay off. Everybody else is paying $6 or $7 a month, or a month on that, and they forget about it. But that's what's going to happen with the roads. If you don't wake up and pay attention, you're not maintaining the roads. He cannot maintain roads at $750,000 a year. Thank you.
Anyone else for this opening session of public comment? Perhaps at a future meeting, you might just sort of share with residents how roads get maintained and kind of what the process is. I think that'd be helpful.
Brian, I'm 230 West Tarifa. Mr. Ziegler took a lot of my thunder, so
sorry.
just echoing his comments, the roads in the township are in terrible condition, and it's not just on the crust. It is definitely worse outside of the village. But even in our alleyway behind Ariba, there's two huge ruts, you know, behind Jess's house. There's a giant pothole in the crosswalk just down from St. Joan's School. The DTMA, the authority, the sewer authority, which I'm a board member of, did bail the township out. They took possession of all the closed stormwater, and there is a stormwater impact fee now for residents. So the township has effectively shed some of its public works responsibility, but it's still underfunding the core function of the township, which is to provide the roads and the safety. The safety you are funding well, but the roads need to be addressed. And even downtown, there is sort of lipstick on the pig going on, new curbing, resurfacing, new crosswalks. But in 2-3 years, all those cracks in the underlying pavement are going to reflect back up through. You guys aren't addressing the underlying issues. And even on that project, you're not addressing the underground utilities. So in 2 more years, maybe PPL will have to run a new conduit and cut right through your new crosswalk. or maybe American Water, who's doing a, who's actually investing in their facilities and doing a water line replacement on 322, is going to have to tear up 422 right after you put lipstick on the pig. You know, tonight I know there's going to be a whole lot of people asking for money, but this township has a function, and it's to provide township services. Those are safety, trash collection, roads, and then after that we can start talking about other things. But you are underfunding our public works, and I feel bad for Mr. Clark because he's not getting the respect and the funding that he deserves to maintain the roads in this township.
Yeah, I'm just going to be a custodian, I guess. Your question. Richard Gamble, 39 Hockenville Road, taxpayer of Derry Township. Okay, at the beginning of the meeting, you said to the first person who came up to ask questions, you said this is only for comments, not to respond. But everybody that followed, we got responses. So if you're going to, I'm going to request to invite her back again and give her the same courtesy you gave the following people. Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing none, let's move on to adoption of the minutes, adoption of Board of Supervisors meeting minutes, July 9, 2019. I'll make a motion to approve. Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
And the motion carries. Item A, Police Department commendations, and I'm very sorry to tell you the one unifying thing tonight was we were going to get to meet the newest canine on the force, but he was unable to make it. So we were still going to do the commendations, which is wonderful, but we're going to have to wait for our newest canine member to come back to a board meeting.
Madam Chair, thank you and the board for allowing us to recognize some of our officers, employees, and citizens for their exemplary actions from March of 2018 to May of 2019. Oftentimes, our community reads about the incidents that have happened and arrests that were made by our department, but don't see the work that goes on at the scene or behind the scenes. These awards are reflective of some of the extraordinary work of our people that they do day in and day out. There's also going to be some officers that were not able to be here tonight through CWAR. We had a couple officers that had new additions to their families, and there's a couple that are on vacation, so we'll catch up with them at a subsequent meeting. So this first award, I believe Officer Jason Road, and Officer William Ledbetter, and Officer Gregory Mowry. This is a distinguished unit citation. On September 7th, 2019, at 12:27 a.m., Officer Janet Klinger, who is one of the officers that just added to her family, while on routine patrol, observed a pickup truck disabled in the middle of the intersection of Hirsch Park Drive and Walton Avenue. Upon further investigation, she discovered the male operator, Marcus R. Infante, was unconscious behind the wheel and was later determined to be under the influence of controlled substances. Officer Klinger was initially unable to determine the registered owner of the truck, and Officer Jason T. Road responded to an address on South Andover Street in Holmestown Borough where they suspected the unconscious driver was residing. Officer William Ledbetter arrived to assist Officer Klinger with the unconscious driver. Officer Rood, while trying to locate an occupant at the residence, noticed through the window of a door a female subject lying unconscious on the kitchen floor. Due to the exigency of the circumstances, Officer Rood made entry, assessed the situation, determined the female was likely suffering from an opioid overdose. He rendered first aid and administered naloxone to the female as she slowly regained consciousness. She was then handed over to EMS who had arrived on scene. While these actions were taking place, Officer Gregory Mowry responded to Derry Township address of the registered owner of the pickup truck and determined the truck had been stolen from the owner's place of business in Hummelstown Borough. Additional information gleaned from the combined investigation by all officers involved produced evidence that Infante was potentially involved in other vehicle break-ins in Hummelstown Borough prior to his contact with our officers. The actions of the involved officers resulted in the arrest of an impaired motorist, the recovery of a stolen vehicle, development of theft suspect information, and potential life-saving action, all of which exemplify distinguishable teamwork by Officers Klinger, Rode, Mowry, and Ledbetter. These actions demonstrate professional policing practices in the highest traditions of Derry Township Police Department. Congratulations. At 12:09 a.m., Derry Township Police units were dispatched to an apartment at Briarcrest Gardens Apartments for an active burglary of an occupied residence. The caller, who was hiding in the second floor bedroom, advised her roommate was being held at knife point by an unknown assailant on the first floor. Dispatcher Ashley Kinzel began coordinating and gathering of information from the 911 call center, the victims in the apartment, and dispatching of that information to responding officers. Officers Heinz, Keller, Kaufman, and Eckenrode arrived on scene and attempted to gain entry through the front door of the apartment. As Sergeant Grubb, Officers Bergwald and Cotton approached the rear door. Discovering that the front door was locked, officers made entry through the patio door. The suspect, upon seeing the officers coming in the patio door, fled out through the front entrance and then attempted to flee from the officers positioned at the front of the apartment. Officers were able to catch a suspect who aggressively and physically resisted the officers who were trying to take him into custody. The suspect, Richard B. Washington, was arrested, and a search of his person and his car parked nearby produced evidence of additional burglaries. Because of the officers' expedient response, selfless actions, bravery facilitated by sound and effective radio communication by Dispatcher Kinzel, a burglary suspect with violent tendencies was taken into custody, and victims were saved from potential and imminent harm. The actions taken by the officers and dispatcher involved reflect great teamwork in the highest traditions of Derry Township Police Department. Congratulations. Officer Bergwald, if you could remain up front. I'm just going to ask, is either Brandon Willis or Keith Manwiller in the audience tonight? There's a possibility they would be able to show up, but they weren't certain. So, looks like you're a little off on there. On August 30th, 2018, at 9:30 a.m., CSO Nathan Cuba was dispatched to Boathouse Road between State Route 39 and Sand Beach Road for a report of an abandoned dog trapped in the mud embankment adjacent to Square Creek. The dog was seen by a hiker who alerted employees of the Hershey Nursery as they were driving past the location. Officer Bergwald responded to assist CSO Cuba with recovering the dog. However, both immediately encountered dire and near-death conditions for the animal. It was noted the dog had an open wound which was infested with maggots. It was very emaciated and gaunt to the degree that it was unable to move its head, no less free itself from the mud. Officer Birdwall and CSO Cuba, in their attempts to free the dog, also found themselves getting stuck in the mud that had entrapped the dog. Brandon Willis and Keith Manwiller, employees at the Hershey Nursery, assisted by cutting back brush in the area and creating an access trail to aid in getting materials in to rescue the dying animal. CSO Cuba used materials from his CSO truck to mitigate the challenges presented by the mud and the slope of the embankment. After securing the area to enable them to get to the dog, Officer Birdwall dug around the dog's paws to free it, and they were able to get it into and onto a blanket to remove it from the embankment. The dog, a pit bull named Tabby, was identified using the department's microchip scanner. Officer Birdwall, after the rescue of Tabby from the mud embankment, initiated an investigation into the injury and abandonment of Tabby. There were many in-depth interviews and follow-up concerning Tabby's medical care after the rescue. Ultimately, Officer Birdwall received a confession from the suspect, Mark L. Woolridge. Woolridge admitted to trying to kill Tabby and discarding the body by rolling it down the embankment to the Swerera Creek. Officer Birdwall's investigation yielded criminal charges, prosecution, and conviction for aggravated cruelty to an animal and neglect of an animal, among other charges. Under medical care facilitated by Officer Birdwall, Tabby has made a recovery from his injuries. Officer Birdwall's attention to detail and commitment to conducting a thorough investigation using all available investigative resources showed her commitment to her service as a law enforcement officer. Officer Birdwall's actions demonstrated her love for dogs, true concern for our community, and is exemplary of the highest traditions of Derry Township Police Department. Congratulations. The other officers that were not able to make it, we'll pick them up on the next meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks to all the officers on behalf of the board and our community for your incredible work in keeping our lives safe every day. Thanks for sharing that. We're going to mix up the agenda just a little bit right now, and instead we're going to move to item D, 1 through 6, consideration of a decision for conditional use application number 2019-04, filed by Kimberly Peter and Christine Wagner regarding 228 Road. Mr. Elmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In this conditional use hearing, which we had earlier this evening, the applicant was seeking to have a homeschool cooperative learning support establishment operate similar to a school. Testimony was received at the hearing. We are recommending approval of the conditional use with the following conditions: that the establishment for the homeschool co-op be in substantial compliance with the information presented with the conditional use application, that the homeschool co-op hours of operation are limited to 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., that the homeschool co-op shall have a maximum attendance of 25 students and 4 teachers at any one time, that a minimum of 17 parking spaces shall be reserved in the Living Legacy Church parking area for the homeschool co-op, between the hours of 7:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, that the owner-operator of the homeschool co-op shall maintain 3 parking lot shade trees on Tree Creek parking spaces on the subject property. The grant of approval of the conditional use request shall not relieve the applicants from filing and having the township approve any permit, plan development, subdivisions, or site plan which may be required by the township regulations or from otherwise complying with all applicable federal, state, and township regulations. The grant of the conditional use approval shall expire if not acted upon within 12 months, and the homeschool co-op shall meet all other requirements of the township.
I know know the board had a chance to ask you questions, Chuck, during the hearing, but I just wanted to make sure there weren't any further questions. Anything of the applicant? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve the commission's application number 2019-04. Seconded by Mr. Zimuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries. And now we're going to go back to the agenda. Item B, authorizing the township financing team to proceed with the refinancing of Gary Township General Obligation Bond Series of 2014 issued on behalf of the Gary Township Municipal Borough.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With us this evening is Mr. Lou Verdelli from RBC Capital Markets. He's going to do a very brief presentation on the refinancing this evening. As you are aware, with the current interest rates in the bond market, there is an opportunity for the township to refinance its general obligation bond series of 2014 issued on behalf of the Erie Township Municipal Authority to save approximately $150,000 in long-term interest costs. No new money will be added to this refinancing. And the Dairy Township Municipal Authority will be responsible for 100% of the principal and interest payments on the new bonds as per their subsidy agreement between the township and the authority. I'll turn it over to Mr. Verdelli, and I'll capture it up for you.
That was a great summary of it, so I can keep it short. As Mr. Christman mentioned, interest rates have dropped. The timing is just lines up with one of the DTMA issues that's reaching its call date. So actually, we reviewed this opportunity with the Municipal Authority Board last night. They've authorized the financing team to proceed. These are bonds that the township issued on behalf of DTMA back in 2014. So we want to, because the township had issued those, we'll have the township issue the refinancing bonds to basically keep those in the same silo that they're in right now. So the opportunity on page three, just to hit the highlights, the bonds, there are only $4.5 million remaining of this issue. Interest rates range from 1.5% to 3%. The bonds are actually callable on December 15th of this year. Tax laws allow us to close 90 days prior to that. It's a current refinancing. Final maturity date is December 15th of 2027. We're going to issue the new bonds with the exact same final maturity date, so there's no extension of the debt. It's just a traditional refinancing from a higher interest rate to a lower interest rate. As Mr. Crispin mentioned, currently the net savings are about $150,000. We have reviewed this with the administration at DTMA. The plan is to target that in next year's DTMA budget, 2020. To use that to offset the increased debt service that they have coming on board from the new money financing that we did earlier this year. Timeline at the bottom of page three, DTMA authorized this to proceed last night. With your authorization to move forward tonight, we would have an August meeting where we would come back for the actual debt incurrence. That's when Donna Kreiser would be here to present that debt ordinance for your consideration. We're targeting August the 27th to be back with that, and then hope to be in the market to price the bonds the next day. So our interest rate risk is basically from now until August the 27th to lock in the rates, and then we would plan to close on September 30th. Would like just to follow up one question Mr. Samuda asked last night. There was one other issue that DTMA has where it's callable right away. We don't have to wait till a call date. And you had inquired, you know, why aren't we touching that? The interest rate on that issue is 2.07%, so it's already really low. That was a 2016 financing, which is actually the last time that interest rates were as low as they are today. So that's the reason that we're just leaving that one untouched. Sure. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Members of the board have any questions from Mr. Vanelli? Very well. Do I have a motion to authorize the administration to work with RBC Capital Markets as bond underwriter, Public Financial Management Inc. as financial advisor, and the Municipal Authority as bond counsel to prepare the necessary documents for the issuance of Township of Gary General Obligation Bond Series A of 2019?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel, seconded by Mr. Weir.
All
those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thanks. So we'll be back on the agenda for August 27th.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Now we'll move on to item C on the agenda, consider